Welcome to the award-winning Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, covering metaphysics, ETs, shamanism, and channeling. Here you will find spiritual inspiration from today's thought leaders, along with cutting-edge insights from our interstellar brothers and sisters and ancient shamanic wisdom. Now, here's a new episode of Dare to Dream with your host, Debbie Dashinger.
Welcome to Dare to Dream, the show that dares to explore the multidimensional, the mysterious, and the miraculous. My guest today is Soma Ara, galactic lightworker and Pleiadian channel. Soma is a Pleiadian and Lyran starseed hybrid. You're going to want to stay with us because Soma brings through direct transmissions from the stars, deep insights from the Akashic realms, and guidance for lightworkers, starseeds, and old souls during this powerful moment of ascension. Dare to Dream won 3 Talk Radio Positive Change Awards, the COVR Award for Best Podcast. Walt Magazine named Dare to Dream one of the top 20 best podcasts to listen to this year, and it is high ranking on Apple Podcasts. You can find us on YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, and every major podcast platform, including BBS Radio. This show is sponsored by Dr. Dane here in Access Consciousness. They do energy work out into the world, so if you'd like to become a facilitator or take one of their classes, go to Dr. Dane here, HEER.com. It's time for you to unlock your cosmic potential with a phenomenal free starseed video report and enjoy an engaging exploration that investigates many starseed species in depth. You can learn your galactic origins, discover your star lineage, and your celestial ancestry right now. My gift to you, go to debbiedashinger.com/starseed. That's debbiedashinger.com/starseed. I have been interviewed now twice on Gaia TV with George Norrie on the show Beyond Belief, once last year, once this year, and you can watch them both, completely different conversations. Go ahead and go to Gaia TV, type in my name, and watch it. Now, just in case you do not yet have the platform, allow me to give you a free gift, a 1-week trial subscription. Unbelievable, because right now Dr. Joe Dispenza is rolling out a 13-week program that you can participate in, no matter who you go see, because the best of the best are there. Definitely check out both of my interviews. And again, my gift to you for this subscription, debbiedashinger.com/Gaia. It's debbiedashinger.com/GAIA. I am doing monthly free right now shamanic healings. These are galactic shamanic healings. Be sure to sign up for one of the notifications. We've got the next one rolling out in 6 days. So you should sign up on my website so you become notified of these healings. I've had close to 100 people signing up every month for these. They are going to switch to paid. So if you want to get in for the free one and just experience this, people have walked away. They've been sending me of their own volition testimonies of what has happened after the healing. And this is why we're here today, folks. This is why Soma's going to join us in a minute. We are really here as the messengers. We're here as the guiders, the healers, all of the above, the light showers. So join us when we give you these free things, right? And finally, I am going to be speaking on a mystery school cruise, March 2026. We are going to Greece and Turkey. I've never been. I'm super excited. The best of the best presenters are on this cruise. Go ahead and sign up. Please use my name. You must under the references at mysteryschool@sea.com. mysteryschool@sea.com. Let's bring on the guest. My guest today, Soma Ara, is a Pleiadian and Lyran starseed hybrid with a mission to assist humanity during this era of ascension. Known as a Pleiadian ambassador and warrior of the heart, she served as a channel for the Pleiadians since childhood, sharing their wisdom to inspire, uplift, and guide humanity toward higher frequencies and a new earth. As a healer, visionary, and intuitive, Ara is an ascension guide for navigating awakening and transformation. She is a psychic medium and starseed reader, offering insights through Akashic records and multidimensional connections. Plus, Soma is a Reiki master, shamanic practitioner, and channel for divine light. To learn more about her, go to substack.com/@SomaAra. That's SomaArah. And with that, I welcome Soma to Dare to Dream. Welcome. It's so good to have you.
Thank you, Debbie. I'm so super excited to be here. And I love your energy. Your energy is off the scale. And so many of us feel that, you know, when we feel that energy, we can feel people's energy and awareness. But I'm delighted to be here. So thank you.
And so here's something for you that is super interesting. I just literally just came back from the Palm Springs area in California. And we were there for, I think, 6 days at Contact in the Desert, right? Big UFO disclosure happens every year. My dear friend Sarah Adams was there. So, you know, I get to hang out also with my friends besides hearing the speakers. But there's a reason why I bring this up. There was a really well-dressed gentleman there, Brian Tiang.
Sang.
Just met him. How do you say it?
Sang.
And right before I left, and I had chatted with him some, he's really funny, has a beautiful dog. Right before I left, he handed me this sheet of paper. He said, I'm doing a full disclosure event in Florida in July. I come back, I check it out. There's your picture. And I'm like, synchronicity. I love it. So you're going to be in Florida at his event in July speaking. Yes.
Talk about synchronicities and coincidences. I mean, we are so guided, you know, where my life has really felt a bit like, what's the name? Greta, I can't remember now, but pieces have been led, like I'm following a path. I'm following the breadcrumbs. So yes, I'm doing a talk at the Disclosure Now conference in July in Florida from the 15th to the 18th. And I'll be doing probably a short talk and a live Pleiadian channeling. And I do, so I'm so looking forward to that. It's quite a big trip for me because I'm currently in Ireland, so with the flight and everything. But if anyone would like to attend that, there is a discount code on my website.
Beautiful. And so they should. So if they're living in the States or if in the Floridian area, I mean, that's great that there is more and more consciousness going to that particular area. And you mentioned, Soma, that you live right now in Ireland. How is the spiritual community there? Is there one?
There is, but it's in 2019, 2020, when COVID emerged, so many of us were kind of shut off behind closed doors. And I tend to have a very small circle of people. So, and I live in a rural area. So there's a lot of spiritual people in Ireland. Ireland's a really sacred land and was part of Atlantis. And the remnants of that can still be felt. You know, there's so many different sacred people around the earth, including the Irish and Native Americans and in different areas, you know, that were really very in touch.
Have you ever seen the Fae where you live?
I have. I had a lot of experiences as a child when we first moved here from Namibia, and that was one of my first experiences. For a good few months, I would be out in the garden, playing in my swimsuit in Ireland, in rural Ireland, and I would be communicating and talking to fairies and nature spirits. So that's how I spent a lot of my childhood during that time.
How beautiful. Wow. I believe in them so much. And I know at times they've played little tricks or jokes on us, a little mischievous, but very, very positive, very benevolent. But I've never seen one. And I know certain people are gifted that they can see beyond the veils, different beings. But folks who see the elementals, I always think, wow, that must be so special to be able to engage with them. Through sight, through hearing, through understanding them. Do you ever work with them?
I haven't worked with them in that sense, but I do talk to them and ask them to, and there's actually no need for me to do that, but I do like doing it. I do ask them to look after the flowers and the plants and the trees and the garden,
Yeah, that's so
Mm.
cool. So I love that, of course, in your bio, you mentioned shamanism. Tell me about your path with shamanism. Did you study with somebody? Is there a certain sect that you utilize?
I studied under a shaman in Ireland called Paul O'Halloran. That's OHALLORAN. And he lives, or at least used to live, in Galway. And I was in 2010 or 11, I began to train with him for a couple of years, and he's amazing. Whenever I'm looking at people to study with, or I'm wanting to learn something, I always want to go to the best of that particular subject and the people who are teaching that in the best capacity. So when I wanted to learn meditation, I would go to the Buddhists. Anyway, I'm sorry. I began to study with Paul in 2010, 2011, around then, and I began having these experiences. One in particular comes to mind, that was very, very visual, very profound, and it was a weekend of ayahuasca. And we were in the lounge in his house, because that's where we were. That's where the course was held, and again, that's in rural Ireland, just outside of Galway, about 20 miles outside of Galway. And we were doing this shamanic journey, and we'd taken ayahuasca, and we were all in the lounge, laying on the floor with blankets and I forget what they're called now, but they're sacred songs.
Oh,
This.
Icaros.
Yes, thank you. Yes. And I had this experience where I was taken out of my body, which had been happening for me, or to me as a child, since a child. So I was used to that. So I was taken up and out, and I was shown an image of the universe, and I was with my one of my guides, who I call Many Moons, and the Pleiadians were there. And I'd already started to channel them about a year or two before that, consciously. And I was taken out of my body, and I was shown my mission. I was shown where I come from, why I'm here, and past lives, to all connected to the Pleiades star system. And that left me with a very deep sense, profound sense of knowing. Absolute knowing to my very core, because it was such a profound experience, to my very core, that my mission and that I'm part Pleiadian, I'm part hybrid, and
Can you
it.
explain that? When you describe yourself as a Pleiadian Lyran hybrid, what does that mean? And what is your hybridism like? How does that manifest through you?
So I have experiences on a daily basis now, and actually always have had, that are galactic, that are beyond the 3D reality, especially in the dream time as well. So I could be in the supermarket, or I could be in the shower or the bath or cooking, and I could be receiving these downloads and transmissions and visions and images and experiences of things that are beyond our 3D reality. I also have a rhesus negative blood type, which I've been told is a stamp, is a sign, a significant product or blood type of having Pleiadian blood in our veins, although it filters down through into our physical bodies. So it's our connection to, we've never sever our connection to the galactics. It is always with us since day one. What happens is that we forget.
That's interesting because at Contact in the Desert, there was a whole talk that brought this up, the different blood types. And are you referring to the Rh negative one that you have? Yes, that's very rare. And that's exactly what the woman said. It's like a galactic stamp when you
Yes.
have that,
Yeah.
indicating that you have a strong connection, a strong strain, if you will. I'm O positive, so I'm a universal. I don't know if that really means anything, the O positive, but she definitely made a point of saying the Rh negative is important when it comes to galactic beings and lifetimes. So this makes sense. You know, you mentioned Soma, that you've been channeling the Pleiadians since your childhood. So talk about that. You mentioned a little bit about how beautiful as a little kid in your bathing suit, interacting with the fairies and the elementals. And what about your first conscious experience with the Pleiadians or the Lyrans? What was that like?
Thank you, Debbie. That's such a great question, and that really is a long answer, because it allows me to go into a lot more information. But I'm one of those people that I need to do things in the extreme, because I'm actually a slow learner. Not that I have learning disabilities, but I'm a slow learner. It takes me a while to really understand things, to look beneath and to see what's going on and to figure out things. And that's also tied in to being a hybrid, because for a long time, and still, I struggle with the 3D reality of Earth and how things are, because it's very different to where we come from. But so, as a child, I did things in the extreme, and I'm just kind of warning your tribe and audience, because I had a lot of abuse, a lot of abuse in the extreme. I had an al and that's not just sexual abuse. I also had an alcoholic mother, a lot of poverty, a lot of bullying at my primary school, and a lot of violence, a lot of dysfunction. So kind of everything, all at the extreme end. I was very lucky, because I didn't have, one thing I didn't have was the satanic abuse, which people do. So I escaped that extremity, but I did have a lot of abuse again and again and again and again. The first conscious memory I have now, which I had forgotten for many years, which reoccurred during the shamanic training, and I was in that training for about 2 or 3 years. where I would ha began to have memories. I'd already started to channel them at in 2010, 2010, 11. I began to do the shamanic training, and then began to have memories of having connected to them as a child. So things that kind of have flipped for me as I've got older and had more memories coming to my surface. But having said that, the first conscious memory I have is when I was 8, and I had a man lying on top of me that was very heavy, very overweight. He had an alcohol addiction and very strong smell of whiskey, and I couldn't breathe because I was just skin and bone. I was very underfed, very undernourished, and I left my body. I was gasping for air, literally, and I left my body and actually went up to the left and connected to the Pleiadians, specifically Ashtar, and I was gone only seconds, not even minutes, but just literally seconds. And I do remember a sense of blue, around the star system, but also around the Pleiadians, Pleiadian beings. And so, but I didn't understand at that age who they were. I just always thought of them as my guides growing up, from the age of 8 to 16, when I did eventually leave home. And I did have a lot of other ex my childhood was a huge training ground, huge training ground. There were so many experiences, one after the other, that were brought about by the abuse. So there was kind of two threads going on in my childhood. There was the abuse, which was horrific. And then every time something negative would happen, something positive would happen to counteract it. And both of those things would happen in the extreme. So, and that happened for me from a very early age. And Paul, the shaman that I studied with, did tell me during the courses that it wasn't from the age of 8, it was from the age of the cot when I was in the crib. But I don't actually have any memory before the age of 8.
And then that's pretty extraordinary, that kind of interception in the face of that level of abuse, but that the galactic beings, the benevolent beings, were there for you and to allow you a different experience, if you will, at the same time. And so those are the Pleiadians. Were the Lyrans also involved since you were young?
Yes,
Tell us
absolutely.
more. Yeah, I want to hear about that. All the lion beings.
I the, there was also the blue beings as well, which are Andromedans. But I didn't have, it was actually, I don't remember the Lyrans being around as a child, but I was doing an interview a couple of years ago with a woman called Susan Long and Veronica Bartolini. And during the interview, Susan Long mentioned that she could see the Lyran beings with me. So that was how I was introduced to the Lyran beings. And it was during an interview. It wasn't a private behind the scenes. So I've since come to understand that I do have a strong connection to the Lyrans, and sometimes they step in more than the Pleiadians. And I see them very physically. But I haven't been shown more information about that. But I do understand that I am from also a Lyran hybrid.
Fantastic. It's beautiful. What a great lineage. Really, what a great lineage. And also, I understand you had an out-of-body experience, Soma, with Yeshua at the age of 12. How was that? How did that alter your life path?
Oh, Debbie, that was so profound. Profound doesn't do the word do the experience justice. It was an experience that really, on a very deep level, took me out of my body. When I was taken at the age of eight, I was gone for seconds. So it was a very short experience. It was a very tippy toe introduction. But the experience when I was 12 was in the extreme. And I had gone into my room. I was laying down on my mattress because I didn't have a bed. And I was actually okay with that. I've always preferred the floor, although now I do have a very comfortable, nice bed. But at the time, I had been abused and several times, and I was in a lot of emotional pain, and I was distraught. And I lay down on my mattress and I was sobbing, very snotty. It wasn't a pretty picture. I was retching, my stomach was contracting, and I was deciding on taking tablets. And I just wanted out. I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I didn't want to see anyone. I didn't want to know anything. I just wanted to be left alone and I wanted to leave. And I was deciding on taking tablets. And the next thing I knew, I was on the above the door of my room, looking down on myself. And because of this experience, I'll never forget the layout of the room. Like I could see everything from above, and I was looking at my body. And I went down through a white tunnel, and I met up with Jesus, or Jesus came to me. And I was gone for about 3 or 4 hours, and he took me on a very long journey. And he showed me my karma, for want of a better word, my childhood, my experiences, and he also explained that I needed to experience that. And he also said word for word, one day everything will be okay, just not today. And that was literally a quote that he said to me. And then when he understood that I understood that it was okay, that I was okay, that I was actually on a soul level, I was safe. I may not have been physically safe, but on a soul level, I was untouchable, as we all are. And when he understood, because he really wanted me to get it, he really wanted me to understand, because it wasn't my time to go. So when he understood that I understood my journey and my lifetime as a child, this lifetime, he then showed me some of the bigger picture for humanity and some of the natural laws to do with energy and how energy works, and some of the spiritual natural laws. And I was gone for about 3 or 4 hours, and when I came back, I was totally blissful for about 3 or 4 weeks, and that blissfulness gradually ebbed away. But I always knew it was a very real experience because of that. You know, if I'd woken up just normal, how I'd left, you know, in distraught, I probably would have questioned it. But I came back, and it was more than an out-of-body experience, because I came back different, very different. My whole perspective had changed. I was very blissful. And it was only for that experience that my perspective had changed, and I was more aware, more conscious. I was more aware psychically. I was always one of those kids that was psychic and seeing auras and fairies and elves and past lives and kind of the whole shebang, and my guides and the Pleiadians. So I was always aware, but I was more in an expansive consciousness myself because of the experience. And the so my perspective changed, but nothing else had changed. I was still in the same house, still in the same school, with the same siblings, the same mum, still in the same situation with dangerous men around me. And I never spoke of it. Not until 2004 or around then, I began to talk about it to friends. And gradually, I over the years, of course, I've spoken about it on interviews numerous times. But it really, it's yeah, it changed my whole understanding of everything.
Wow. What an experience. I had goosebumps while you were sharing that. And I'm so happy for you. That's extraordinary. It's rare, maybe less rare than I know, but I haven't heard a story like this before. And I love that you were loved at that time of utter despair. Do I want to continue? Do I want to take pills and end all of this? And your life, your path was intercepted by Yeshua, who showed you something different and made you know it's not okay right now, but it will be okay and this will all make sense. And even the karma piece, I think, is very interesting. So, was this like you were karma is an interesting word, right? It's kind of loaded. So, I'm trying to preface this correctly, but was it something that you needed to complete? I'll put it that way.
It was an experience that I needed to experience on a soul level. I needed that level of extreme trauma to crack me open, really onto the spiritual path. It was a doorway. Which I've since learned, since I was 12, that it's trauma releases an excess of DMT in the brain, which allows more psychic abilities and awareness. So I've since learned that it's due to trauma releases an excess of DMT, which allows people to expand their own consciousness. So yes, I absolutely believe that I was contracted in, and that I contracted myself in for those experiences to evolve in this lifetime in order to assist humanity. Because without that experience, I don't think I would have been. In fact, I know without that experience, I wouldn't have. Well, I wouldn't be here for a start, but I wouldn't have been on the on. I wouldn't have gone the spiritual route that I've gone as a teacher and a channeler. I would have gone down the road of addiction and self-harming with substances.
Absolutely. I resonate deeply with what you're saying. Truly, I do. I did not come from a stellar background myself. And I often think it's very interesting because it was clear to me what the choices were. Not good choices, like you said. You could have become an addict, been on the streets. There were those choices for me as well, or for me also to become a perpetrator. And by the way, just to clean my record, not sexual abuse, none at all, but other, yes, a lot. And also a lot of lack. And so, and some mental instability, you know? And I also think it's very interesting the choices that people make in the face of things like that. So for me as well, because it cracked me wide open, it just made me so, I was sensitive to start with. But it made me so sensitive. And I think, on the very positive, super compassionate for other people's plights, for other, situations or pains that people may go through. And definitely not in the beginning, I wasn't connected at all. But at some point, much later on, to start harnessing the gifts and being able to use them, understand them, and that they're here for good. So I don't know. And I've wondered a little bit too if mine was karma or not, but I really understand this path you're talking about. And I have often said to the universe, you got that one time, but we don't ever have to go there again. Like that is complete. Even those relationships, which of course will be different when I pass and we'll actually all be in love and everything, they were just assisting my soul. But still, I say, even for them, complete. Thank you very much. I don't ever need to do that again. And I really mean it. There's a lot of other lessons to learn, right? Do you resonate?
I absolutely, absolutely. And you were saying just now about the word karma. I think karma is slightly off center with the word. I think it's the word soul contract is better. It that feels more in alignment to me, you know, the word soul contract, because it is, it's not something that's happening to us. Karma is something that happens to you, but a soul contract is something that you are choosing. So there's a subtle difference there. Perhaps even not so subtle, but the soul contract would be feels more in resonance with me.
That's a great distinction. I like that as well, because karma feels like I did this, now that has to happen to me, and that feels like there's zero control. But I agree with you 100%, especially when it comes to a childhood. That is soul contract, right? It's not we're an adult and mismanaging our life or having, untoward relationships. That's different. That's stuff we need to heal. But yes, as a child, soul contract, I agree 1,000%. With you. And I'm so glad that Yeshua helped you through that time and that you're here with us right now to do what you do. And is this a good time, Soma, to do some channeling?
Yes, but can I just add something before we do that?
Please.
So the and it's kind of it, so my mum was a Catholic and I was raised as an Irish Catholic, even with the British accent. But the Catholic Church has really instilled in people an untruth, a disbelief. That we are not the normal common people like me and you and the average person down the road are not able to connect in with the likes of Yeshua. And that is absolutely not true. We are all able to connect with him. And so when we understand that, then we understand that my experience isn't that unusual. It's only unusual because the church has this big ownership over Yeshua. So I just wanted to mention that there.
Thank you. There's no separation. I love that message. And is there anything we should know about the channeling before you start? Started. No. Okay.
We cannot express enough how delighted in the extreme we are to be here, speaking with you, connecting to you.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. I have so many questions. And can you tell us, describe the current state of Earth's ascension? Are we progressing as we should be? Where are we at with humanity and Earth's ascension?
Beautiful question. You are indeed in a perfect evolutionary period. You are doing so much better than you realize, than you understand. You have been pushed and propelled, sometimes dragged forward. Even since 2019, You have moved forward dramatically. So many of your conspiracy theories are now classed as fact. And this is building within the collective. One of your presidents, Trump, recently made a very important announcement regarding a certain type of technology and a previous president. This would have been laughed at 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And he's still laughed at by certain by people that are not aware or is not as conscious. Collectively, you are here on your planet to, oh, when we say you, we are speaking to of the star seeds amongst you. And there are different levels to star seeds. There is always different levels to everything. There are different levels or creeds of us, even. The star seeds are here on your planet collectively to change the game, change the to create a better timeline, change the trajectory of where your planet was going. This is very connected to Atlantis. The ascension process that you are in now is very connected to Atlantis, and it could be seen as a parallel timeline, which is how we show Soma, Atlantis, and now. The difference being that you do get to ascend now. You are zoom speeding, light speed years within your lifetime. You are taking great, thank you. You within your lifetime, you are taking great leaps of human evolution, individually and collectively. And this is because the star seeds of you that were in Atlantis are now reborn, reincarnated into your physical 3D reality. These are also classed as hybrids because the Atlanteans were not originally from Earth, as were the Lemurians as well, not originally from Earth. The universe is teeming with life, and you have there are thousands of, thank you, thousands of species that have been created and seeded in star systems, planets, and within the galaxy. You are part of a collective group that are here to assist in the ascension process. We have given you an extra set of DNA codes that you, as star seeds, we have given star
Absolutely.
seeds an extra set of DNA codes that were not in existence in Atlantis. That is perhaps a mistake. We say that word lightly at the time of Atlantis, but we foresaw that these would be needed. So these were put into your DNA, an extra set of DNA codes that we will be sharing with many of the channelers that we speak through in the future, whether it be a day or years to come, more likely the sooner. So these DNA codes are going to be activated to assist and allow you to defeat the negative agendas, negative alien races, species on your planet that have been running your planet for so long At the time of Atlantis, you were actually, we like the word invaded. You were invaded by an alien race, thus causing the downfall of Atlantis. Your DNA was changed, was lowered, was dumbed down, strands were taken out, and human. Humans were changed through DNA, being changed in order to be controlled. Thank you.
May I
So,
ask you, was this the Anunnaki? Was this 450,000 years ago when the Anunnaki came to Earth and changed the DNA of humanity at the time?
yes, we would go. We would also say that that is a very short answer we've given, but yes, you understand this. You are already aware of this. We would also say that there were other species that were working together, perhaps even from a distance, telepathically.
Interesting. How can star seeds or light workers, how can we best prepare our bodies? How can we best prepare our energy fields for the crystalline upgrades?
Great question. Your energy is changing. Your blood, your skin, your hair, your teeth, your bodies, your auras, your DNA, your cells, your energy, your frequency, your vibration, everything within the human system, internally and the auric field, and your connection, your abilities to connect with us, all is in a process of upgrading. And in order to balance that, it is no coincidence that your water, your air, your soil, your food all have been poisoned one way or another. This has occurred in order to try and stop the ascension process. It is a war between light and dark. It is a galactic war between alien races. With advanced technology on both sides, your bodies, because they are changing so dramatically in your lifetime, and one of the reasons that the food, the soil, the poisons and the chemicals and the toxins have been so created by the negative agenda is in order to keep you dumbed down. However, the ascension process cannot and will not be stopped. What we would say in reply to your question is that you are operating at a higher frequency. There are things you can do to change the structure of the soil, of the food, of the water, of the air. There are very real practical techniques you can do. Your energy is operating on a higher frequency. Your thoughts manifest. So it your thoughts is a very large aspect in reply to your question. But so are crystals, color, sound, healing frequencies. You can change. You can even change something high in the sky, such as at thousands of feet, such as chemtrails. You can change this, not just with your minds, but also with more technologies, such as copper. It is no coincidence some of the recent discoveries in Egypt with huge tubes of copper. So there are many things that you can change to speed up the process of your own evolutionary period. Food, health, water, that they are essential to life. You can change their structure. with your thoughts, with crystals, with color, with sound, with healing, with meditation, with putting energy, putting vibration, putting frequency, putting sound into the food, the water, the air, the soil. You are creators. You create everything. You have even created the negative agenda in order to ascend.
That's interesting. That's interesting. Thank you for that. That is
Isn't
a
it?
great perspective. Yeah. What role do the animals in nature play in our ascension process?
They bring in love, they bring in healing, they bring in nourishment. Everything within the universe has been created. They do not magically appear one day. Animals, humans, ETs, all is created. But animals have a certain frequency of love. Many have stepped into a higher dimension in order to not become extinct, such as unicorns and Sasquatch and dragons, which were very physical at one point on your planet.
I know this for sure. When I got in touch with dragon energy, just the reality of dragons, I don't know. When I step into truth, it becomes truth. I don't know how else to say it, but I'm deeply into dragons. I'm surrounded actually right now by several things, including dragons. And I've often thought it's so interesting that. I don't know if you'd call them my guides, but certainly my protectors are all pretty ferocious. I've got a brown bear, I've got a lion, I've got a dragon, and I feel incredibly protected. I feel a lot of loyalty. And I know that in areas closer to where Soma lives, like especially in England and other places in the world, there are actually dragon ley lines. Red dragons, white dragons, all of that that course under the earth where we walk upon. And I believe very much that they were real, and there may be some dimensions where they still exist. So let me ask you this. For the listening, the viewing audience, are there any deep insights that are meant for us from the Akashic realms that you can share?
It is an illusion. It is a false belief that any of you are little soma down the road. That is not who you are, ever. You are divine beings. We would say you have been created in our likeness intentionally to help, even to help, and we would go so far as to say, even to help in the ascension process. You are divine beings with such magnitude and abilities to reach the higher dimensional planes, whether it's the dimensions we exist on And even above that, you are sparks of God's source itself. And anything that, thank you, anything that would teach you or let you believe otherwise is to be let go of. It is a false belief. You are divine, beautiful manifestors, creators of your own reality. You
What
are.
message? Oh, sorry. I didn't know you had more. Forgive me.
There is so much more, thank you, so much more to come for all of you. You are on the precipice of such great change. It is a birthing process of humanity and evolution, not just for humanity, but also for your Mother Earth. The birthing process does not come without pain, does not come without trauma, does not come without some blood being shed.
Thank you. Do you have a Liren message for us? Do the Lirens want to share with us about reclaiming our divine memory and ancient origins?
When the Lyrans come to Soma, she always feels them. Their energy is different to ours. They have a much more lion energy. They have that warrior energy. And you also have a connection to Archangel Michael and the sword of truth, the sword of protection, the shield, the sword of light, consciousness. The Lyrans, Soma always sees them as a lion energy, which she saw with you earlier. There's also, okay, hold on. So there's a sense of strength with them of being more of a warrior type energy, where we are more, we take a, not that we take a back seat, but that's how it feels to Soma. So the Lyrans would be at more at the forefront of the battlefield. They'd be at the front row. And that is how Soma sees you. That the Lyrans show up as beautiful beings with a, with that look like lions or half lions, let us say. There have been many experiments, many creations that we and others have created. Everything has been created by something. Nothing just, the chicken doesn't suddenly appear, the egg doesn't suddenly appear, or the deer, or the stag, or the. Nature spirits. They were also very physical on your earth at one point. Many beings, many. We've said that the dragons and the thank you, the unicorns, in order to not go extinct, went up into a higher dimension, as did the fairies and the elves and the nature spirits, who are guardians of nature itself.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for coming to spend time with us and sharing some of your wisdom. Much appreciated. And we're ready for Soma to come back. This is awesome. So Soma, as you guys know, is a starseed reader. She's an Akashic intuitive. She's a Pleiadian channel since she's a young person. She's had a very profound experience with Yeshua when she was 12. And so, how you feeling, Soma? I understand channels have to drink a lot of water. That is really dehydrating to channel.
Yes, and it also helps with grounding. I'm feeling really good. I never remember the channelings in full. I sometimes, most of the time, I remember little bits. So I hope that was okay. It's such a blessing to me to such a blessing to be able to channel and the light and the routes that my life has taken with their help and support, which I did have as a child. I wouldn't have got through that had I not had the help and support, from them and also my guides and yeah, we're so supported.
Yeah, that was beautiful. It was really great. You have this connection to the 1,000, I don't know how it is, 1,444,000. Am I saying that right? And what is that? How do they fit into humanity's timeline shift? Or, yeah, timelines. What does that mean?
I've recent, well, not recently, but I've been told that there was a call, a very physical call that was put out to the universe by a exceptional being that had a physical lifetime on Earth, and it just happened to be a man. There was a, and he saw the devastation, the energy on Earth, and the call was put out into the universe. And other star beings replied and heard the call and replied and chose to come to Earth. So that is, and it was 144,000. But also the 144,000, it's also an energy of being a cosmic being in a physical body. We carry our DNA, we carry certain abilities, an expanded consciousness, an extra something in our DNA, an extra something in our awareness, in our abilities. Starseeds often feel like they don't fit in because they don't. Their energy, their vibration, their frequency, their DNA is different, even their blood sometimes. So that is all aspects of the 144,000.
Interesting, super interesting. And I want to switch a little bit just because you do some really fascinating things. You do some missing person cases and you use psychic intervention. Can you give us a glimpse what's really going on with the rise in missing person cases and your role in it? Not in the missing persons, but in the finding of the missing persons.
Yeah. So that is something I used to do more of. I don't do that so much now because I found that to be too I found it too emotional. Again, I was getting extreme cases that were just horrific that I won't go into. I won't share that. There's no need because that would just lower the vibration. But when I was 16, I was so from when I was in the cot or the crib, I was always having dreams of leaving my body and having experiences. And when I was 16, I was having dreams of I remember watching the news, and only the previous evening I'd had this dream of there was a famous case in the UK, and I didn't know that when I was dreaming it. I was just dreaming of a girl that had been murdered by her stepfather, and was a very famous case. And then when I woke up in the morning and saw my dream on the TV, I was mortified. I was really, it's a perfect description. I was mortified. And I was just, I couldn't move. I was just held in this disbelief that that was my dream and it was on the TV. But eventually I came to accept that I have that ability. And I did start working for the police in not just the UK and Ireland, but also America via the internet, for a charity called findmetoo.com. And some of those cases were definitely horrific. But it's not something I like to offer. Of course, I still offer it if I get approached. But it's very hard going because not only do I feel the victim, but also the perpetrator. It's almost as if I am that person. I get their thoughts, which are beyond crazy sometimes, and where where they're at psychologically, and so I don't like doing those cases anymore, but I used to.
Yeah, wow, fascinating stuff. And I don't blame you. That would be a lot for me too. Really would. But I'm sure people are so grateful for the help that you gave when you could. And so, where can people find you, Soma? What do you have going on? You talked about July coming to the United States, being in Florida at the Full Disclosure event. Where can people find you, and what do you have available for folks?
Well, I have my so online I'm reachable at my main social media is Substack because I find that I'm not censored on there. I'm not shadow banned. All of my other social medias are heavily shadow banned and censored. I remember doing I did a couple of interviews with Sacha Stone where I was interviewing him.
Interesting.
And one of the interviews I did with him, it was on YouTube for 4 minutes and it was taken down.
Wow.
So, yeah, I mean, 4 minutes is not a human person doing it. It's the algorithms. And that it is a definite sign of being shadow banned and censored. So my uncensored, unshadow banned main social media is Substack. All the others are kind of, hit and miss. My website is somaara.love, and I do have groups that I do weekly where I channel that are free and donation based, which are weekly on a Saturday, 7 p.m., and also weekly Sunday, 7 p.m. Irish time. Those are free to join. And people can ask questions and come in and join. It's it's a lovely team of people. It's not just me that there's, it's an interactive thing. And then I also have the conference coming up in July from the 15th to the 18th in Florida, the Disclosure Now conference, which I'm so excited about. I just can't wait. Where I'll be doing a talk and a channeling, a short talk and a channeling, a live Pleiadian channeling. And there is a discount code on my website as well. I also have an Atlantis Rising workshop coming up. I haven't set the date for that yet, but that will be this year, hopefully in August or by the latest September 2025. So if people would like to sign up, all the details are on my will be on my website very soon.
And then that Substack.com is slash at Soma Ara. And I'll just spell that for folks. SOMA is her first name, last name ARAH. So Soma Ara, this is Dare to Dream. What do you next dare to dream? What are your future dreams and goals?
I think to do more of what I'm doing, to so much of the ascension, so many of us are really stepping more and more into our power, where it was taken away by nefarious species or races or genders. let us say. So just to step more into my mission on a daily basis and to just keep walking. Just keep walking, let everything else go. Just to stand in my mission and my truth and my voice and my energy, and just to be more, to do more, to bring all of that. And I think that's true for every all of us as star seeds. We're here with a very important mission.
Agreed, 100%. Thank you for coming on the show, and thank you for bringing in the Pleiadians with their very important and wise messages. So appreciated.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, this has been a joy. I end today's show with this quote: "You are not remembering who you are. You are becoming who you were always meant to be. The light is not outside of you. It is encoded in your DNA, just waiting for your permission to awaken." Subscribe to this number one transformation conversation, Dare to Dream with Debbie Dashinger podcast. Leave a comment and share. It's so important to this channel. And next week on the podcast, I am featuring from Japan, Nochi Yamashita. She's a multidimensional channel, third eye activator, energy alchemist, and founder of Nochi Channeling Academy. Thank you so much for joining us today on Dare to Dream, and be sure to watch all the other episodes. Like, share, subscribe. As always, it's a pleasure to be with you.
Thanks for joining us this week on Dare to Dream. Make sure to visit our website, DebbieDashinger.com. That's DebbieDashinger. You can subscribe to the show on YouTube and all major podcast sites, so you'll never miss an episode. While you're at it, if you found value in this program, we'd appreciate a like and comment, or tell a friend about the podcast. That will help us out as well. And if you like this conversation, you might want to check out Debbie's shamanic healing programs. And Debbie is available for coaching to write your book, and her company takes your finished book to guaranteed international bestseller. Be sure to subscribe for our next episode of Dare to Dream podcast with Debbie Dashinger, your number one transformation conversation.